And now Hunter Dozier, deep into right center field, and the Royals take the lead.
How about that?
Six runs before making an out.
Well, it was a good-looking Easter Sunday for Royals fans. I was watching this one along with family. It was in town. And I didn't think the Royals had a chance of doing anything. And the Yankees change pitchers, go into the eighth inning. Suddenly the Royals score five, then the sixth run on the homer by Dozier. And I said right away, because I know my team pretty doggone well, I said, we have to hold it in the eighth. Don't give it right back. If we give it right back, we're going to lose. It's the Royals bullpen. I saw Willie Peralta warming up, and I was like, oh, boy. And I figured Peralta would give up the lead. He didn't, but he did. Well, he did give up the lead. I thought he would actually give up the game-winning run as well. And the Yankees came right back. They scored one in the bottom of the eighth. So we eventually go to extra innings. And the Royals relievers, just some of those guys cannot throw strikes. Diekman has been horrible. People talk about Boxberger, hasn't pitched for a while. At least Boxberger throws strikes. Peralta got in trouble with a walk in the eighth. And I thought Ned should have brought Kennedy in to pitch the eighth and the ninth and get the win, because Kennedy's been lights out in the bullpen. That's what I would have done. Doesn't mean it would have worked out. I know Kennedy gave up the game-winning hit, but, I mean, the damage had been done before that in regards to Diekman and his wildness. And so Ned doesn't have a lot of guys he can trust in that bullpen. I thought Lovelady, I think Lovelady should become his eighth-inning guy and let Kennedy be the ninth. Mix and match the best you can, but if you have to have Kennedy throw, you know, 30 pitches and get a four-out save, I'm okay with it. Anyway, the Royals' fantastic comeback, completely wasted.
That'll get it done. Deep drive, right center, going back, Hamilton, it's over his head, and the Yankees win. A walk-off single for Romine. 7-6, Yankees.
Okay, now here's a sad thing. I hate to pile on here, but the Yankees are a minor league baseball team right now.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, they are. They have been inundated with unbelievable injuries. Aaron Judge got hurt on Saturday. Brett Gardner is about the only guy you know. DJ LeMahieu, who was with the Rockies, those are the only guys you know. I mean, Voit, Frazier, not Todd Frazier, Tauchman, Urshela, Ford, Tyler Wade. Who are these people? Romine, who hit the game-winning hit. So the Yankees, AA and AAA guys, I like to say in this situation, but I'd say AAA, they beat the Royals. The only bona fide major leaguer besides Gardner would be James Paxton, who is a starting pitcher who struck out 12 in six innings. The Royals struck out 20 times yesterday. 20 times. Jorge Soler, the perfect day. 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts. He struck out every single time. Dusty and I could have done that, and we'd be happy to cash his paycheck. Just a bad day. Soler's a good player, or I think he will be. Here's Ned on all the strikeouts as the Royals lose 3 out of 4 to the Yankees, who are missing Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, D.D. Gregorius, basically the whole starting lineup, and the Royals could only win 1 game out of 4.
We're definitely swinging at pitches that aren't strikes. We're swinging at pitches that are strikes. Big strike zone here in New York for some reason. You know, that played into it, too, some over the course of the series. I mean, I think we struck out 60 times in 4 games or something crazy. But, yeah, a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to win when you don't put the ball in play. That was what yes. the Royals were known for in 14 and 15, putting the ball in play, not striking out 20 times yesterday. Jorge Lopez, not a bad outing, but he gave up a 3-run homer. That hurt him. Off the hook with the Royals' comeback. 7 innings, 8 hits, 4 earned runs, struck out 6, walked 1. Peralta with a blown save, and he actually didn't have a walk, but he was behind in the count, and that's what got him in trouble. Barlow looked good, and then Diekman, of course, can't throw strikes, 2 walks, and doesn't even get an out, and then Kennedy comes in and tries to save the day, and I think Ned should have had Kennedy start the inning fresh and clean, but instead he was trying to save Kennedy for a save situation. Whatever the case may be, the Royals lose to the Yankees. They lose 3 out of 4. The Royals now 7-15, Yankees 11-10, and the Yankees, if they can just kind of hold water and stay around 500, once they get everybody back healthy, Severino's out, their ace.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get everybody back healthy, the Yankees are still, I think, the team to beat in the East. But right now, the Tampa Bay Rays are the best team in the American League, at least in the East. And the Rays are 14-8, and that's where the Royals go, to Tampa. Yay. Royals are 7-15. Brad Keller on the Hill. He has been suspended for 5 games for his role in the plunking of Tim Anderson in Chicago last week. But as predicted, it's easy. If you follow baseball, you know that Keller wasn't going to miss his next start. You appeal, then you drop the appeal as soon as Keller's done pitching this game, more than likely. And there's an off day on Thursday, and guess what? Keller doesn't miss a start. That's so when they go out, my stepfather-in-law was like, well, Keller got suspended 5 games. That seemed to be extreme. And I said, Bill, I said, he's a starting pitcher. He's probably not even going to miss a start. At worst, he'll miss one start.
Yeah.
He'll miss one game. And this situation is perfect. Off day on Thursday. You got 3 games at Tampa. You get an off day Thursday. And so he can pitch in the Angel series. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really hurt the Royals staff that much. Tim Anderson was suspended 1 game. Not for what he did, but what he said. He had a racial slur, apparently.
Yeah.
That's what got him suspended for a game. White Sox manager suspended a game. Ned Yost was not suspended. And so there's the remnants of that little scuffle, as I would call it. It was not even a brouhaha. And Keller on the Hill tonight against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay has been playing some good baseball here throughout the early portion of the year. So the Royals, once again, the bullpen. It's just so frustrating. You're down 5-0. You score 6. You have a chance to steal the game. The Yankees are, you know, the fans are booing. And you let them off the hook. That bullpen, it just makes you nervous. I mean, and you're going to have to use your bullpen every single game because probably nobody on the staff is probably going to go a complete game.
No.
If there is, it'll be maybe 1 or 2 all year long. Complete games are dinosaurs. It doesn't even hardly exist anymore.
No, it don't exist with a lot of the good pitchers, and now you're talking about young guys that you're trying to save and not send them out there and have them throw 100, 110 pitches when they go out, you know, if you don't need to. And so you're looking to get through, you know, 6 or 7 with those young starters that you got to not tax them, and and then that's where it gets really nervous. You start being like, I don't know about this one. That's when you know that if you don't have like a 4 or 5 run lead, it's not safe. Maybe even not safe with 4. Who knows?
Nothing's safe with the Royals bullpen. The only guy I feel good about with the Royals bullpen is Kennedy.
Yeah.
And he's your best guy in the pen, and then you wait too long to use him, in my opinion. Barlow done okay the last couple times. Lovelady, I think, has a future. But Diekman's been just absolutely horrendous. Boxberger's been box blower, as we talked about. Peralta is just a guy that it takes him 30 pitches to get out of one inning. And I still say he should have been the closer to start the year. And now I guess he's a setup guy. Although right now I don't think he should be a closer or even a setup guy. The Royals have no answers in the bullpen. Maybe Barlow is an answer. And Kennedy. And maybe Lovelady. And so there you got 2 young guys. And then you got a guy that, you know, isn't going to be on this team in the future because he's going to, you know, run out his contract, which was probably the Royals overpaying for a starting pitcher back when they signed Ian Kennedy. So Danny Duffy's supposed to come back. Who knows? He might come back for the Angel series. His next start should be at the major league level, according to the Royals. So there was talk maybe they could put him in the bullpen. They're going to put him in the rotation. So who does that bump from the rotation? Probably the 5th starter, Phil Meyer, who has not been very good. And that's probably maybe why. If Phil Meyer pitched well, maybe Duffy would have started in the pen. I don't know. But anyway, that's the Royals update. But we still would love to have you on the Royals bus trip. I mean, we still have a great time, whether they win or lose. We're going to see Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That's fun. Mondesi and Merrifield are fun to watch. Gordon's off to a great start. The Royals offense has not been really the problem, considering everything, although yesterday it wasn't great with 20 strikeouts. But anyway, Royals are 7-15. Local sports.
Not a whole lot going on today, but we do have the Beloit Trojan baseball team in action against Republic County this afternoon. Doubleheader starts at 4, and then Concordia Golf Invitational this afternoon at 3 o'clock with Beloit and Smith Center from our area competing there. So that's kind of a little bit of a look at local sports here. As always, ncksports.com for all your local sports news.
Kansas State wide receiver Hunter Rison has been indefinitely suspended after his arrest on a domestic battery charge. The Manhattan Mercury reports that Riley County police arrested Rison on Friday on suspicion of domestic battery. The charge also covers knowingly or recklessly causing bodily harm to family or a person in a dating relationship. Rison was released on a $1,000 bond. He said on Twitter that he'd done nothing wrong. Kansas State football coach Chris Clemens said Saturday that Rison had been suspended for a violation of team and departmental policy. Rison transferred to Kansas State last year after playing 1 season at Michigan State. He sat out last season under NCAA transfer rules. He's a son of former NFL Pro Bowl receiver Andre Bad Moon Rising. All that happened with him was his wife burned down their house. So,
yeah.
You know, not a great history in the Rising family of some issues off the field. Perhaps this is not as bad as it sounds, and Hunter Rising is correct, and he will be vindicated, and he did nothing wrong. I don't know. I don't even want to speculate. I mean, part of me wants to say, if you did nothing wrong, how could this even be happening? But at the same time, who knows?
So Carlton Bragg.
Yeah, Carlton Bragg, true.
You know, I mean, you've got an example of something that could happen.
He did do something wrong, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Carlton Bragg did shove her.
Yeah.
I mean, he did something wrong, but he wasn't the perpetrator. He wasn't the guy instigating it. So, you know, when Hunter Rising says, I did nothing wrong, I find it hard to believe he did nothing wrong.
Exactly.
Because even if he just retaliates and the girlfriend is the one that's beating on him, he has a right to defend himself. But at the same time, in this day and age, this is where you just got to walk away or get away.
Yeah.
So technically, he probably did something wrong. Even Carlton Bragg did something wrong. But
you're
right. That's a good example of how everybody just immediately rushed to judgment.
I mean, they just were all over him right
guilty.
Away.
He should transfer. What a mess at KU. And guess what? We had to let the story play out. Same thing here. That's why I'm not going to speculate on anything with Hunter Rising, because, you know, for him to come out that strongly on Twitter, he's going to look really stupid if all this is true.
Yeah.
He made it worse. So why would you come out and put yourself in that situation and say, I've done nothing wrong, and adamantly say it? Leads me to believe that there's obviously a lot more to the story than we know.
Oh, yeah, without question. So you never, in any of these kind of things, you never get the whole thing.
No.
I mean, unless there's a witness that can tell you exactly what went down, I mean, you're not going to get everything.
No, probably not. Well, this whole thing, what we're seeing with Tyreek Hill and his fiance is that the child, the 3-year-old child, that had a broken arm has been removed from the home. The DCF is investigating everything else. And so, you know, stay tuned on the Tyreek Hill situation with the Chiefs. But there's much more to that story, because they're obviously the kid isn't safe staying with mom, they've determined.
Yeah.
So mom and Tyreek Hill are either problems or collectively a problem. According to all reports, you know, if you felt comfortable with him being the kid with mom, you would just make sure that Tyreek was nowhere near and do this and that. They're taking him out of the home because it's not safe, and so they're both doing something wrong, it sounds like. But we don't know, once again.
Yeah.
So we don't want to speculate too much, but the kid was taken from the home. So, and that's unfortunate, because I'm not worried about Tyreek Hill. I'm not worried about his fiance in regards to, I'm worried about the kid. Because my wife is in social work, and I've heard all these stories over the years, and I know what's happening in our foster care and welfare system in our state, let alone our country. And these children, in some cases, have no chance. And it's just, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. And then some of these kids grow up and they do bad things, and people just want to throw them in a slammer, which in some cases, maybe that's what you got to do. But nobody wants to take the time to understand they came from a broken family. They didn't have a mom or a dad. They went to 11 different foster homes in 4 years. They're brothers and sisters. They're split apart from each other. You know, we don't stop to think of that. We just automatically go, oh, well, they're a horrible person, so let's just throw them in the slammer. We have no idea. You know, if we were in those shoes and we didn't have a stable home life, would we turned out the way we are now? More than likely, we'd have issues and we'd have to deal them with different ways. And, you know, I sit here and I hear people just so quick to judgment, have no idea what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes, have no clue, because they grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth. You know, or everything was great for them, so it's great for everybody. Until you deal or have somebody that you know that is involved in this cruddy system, and that's what it is. I have a stronger word for it, but I can't say it on the air.
Yeah.
It's a system that needs to be fixed by our state. Governor Kelly and others are supposedly working on this, although it's taking a lot of time. And I think, you know, I don't know. I just there doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. And so what gets lost in this whole thing is Chiefs fans get all riled up and go, well, is Tyreek going to play for the Chiefs? That could really hurt our chances to make a Super Bowl. But they don't stop to think, what if that was my 3-year-old kid? Would you really care about mom and dad? No, you'd care about the kid being safe.
Yeah.
That's what you care about. But since it's Tyreek Hill, you kind of like, oh, kid broke his arm. He'll heal. I mean, seriously, there are fans that feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care about the kid.
No.
But if it's their kid, they would just go going ape about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the...
It's an athlete.
There's a lot of examples
under the rug,
on that.
It's
yeah.
all good. I'm not saying Tyreek Hill did anything wrong yet, because we don't know for sure. But but it's just... We just don't... We don't... It's not in our backyard. It's just the way we are in society. And I'm guilty of it, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm part of the problem, too. Is that, there's no drug problem because I don't have drugs in my backyard. Yeah, there's a problem. We have a drug problem in this area. There's a drug problem in this country. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it. They don't. They have no clue what's happening until their kid's on drugs or somebody they know's on drugs. They don't have any idea, don't care. They honestly don't care.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. I don't know. Oh, it just goes down the highway. That's it. Yeah, that's right. The car just goes through with the drugs, and they just falls out the back seat, and that's it. That's it. That's all that happens.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you know what? Everybody's got a great family life, and there's never abuse. No, there is. There's all kinds of abuse. That's why we have a whole bunch of foster care children in many cases. We have kids that are split from their families, kids that are split. That's the worst thing possible. Can you imagine, Dusty? You have – I'm sorry, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a moment because I have time. But you are – how many are in your family? How many kids? How many brothers and sisters you have?
I'm the youngest of four.
Okay. Yep. Can you imagine if your mom and dad didn't treat you right, there was abuse or had all kinds of problems, whether it be a drinking problem, you guys didn't go to school because mom and dad weren't around and you didn't know how to get to school, or you had a split family, or you didn't have a mom or a dad because of some crazy, horrible, bad situation. And can you imagine – people that you don't know, strangers, taking you out of your house and then taking you and Trisha and putting you in a place in Southwest Kansas in foster care and taking your two other brothers and sending them to Kansas City. Can you imagine how your life would change then?
No.
You can't imagine.
No.
Because you've never had to go through it. This happens every day in the state of Kansas. This happens every day in our country. And a lot of us don't even know about it. But when Tyreek Hill's involved, we don't even care about the boy's name. We don't care if he's three. We don't even care if he broke his arm, really. I mean, yeah, we kind of do. But is Tyreek Hill going to play for the Chiefs?
Well, the only reason we care if he broke his arm is because Tyreek Hill plays for the Chiefs.
Right.
So we're wondering if he's going to play.
Yeah. Did Tyreek
is that bad enough
arm?
To make him not be able to play? That's why we care about him breaking
right.
his arm.
But we don't care if the kid's okay.
There's no personal connection with that kid.
No, we don't care about if there's mental abuse, physical abuse beyond the broken arm. We have no idea, and we don't care. But if it's our kid, oh, boy. We want Tyreek Hill thrown behind bars, right?
Oh,
even
yeah.
if we don't even know the full story. We just immediately, how dare he play for the Chiefs? And here's the thing. Once again, in fairness to Tyreek Hill, we don't know if he did this.
Yeah.
But people are going to jump to conclusions. People don't like Tyreek Hill. People don't like the Chiefs. People don't like football. Oh, it's just the athlete, you know, doing this and doing that. This happens every single day in society. Ain't for every Tyreek Hill, there's Joe Blow and Jane Doe. And it ain't just men that beat up on their kids. It's not.
No.
Moms do it. I mean, there was something that happened. Wasn't this in Wichita the other day? I saw, it was Wichita. It was in the state of Kansas. A couple was arrested. They killed their 2-year-old kid.
Yeah. I can't remember.
You can tell they're just hopped
either,
up.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can tell in the pictures they're hopped up on drugs to. I mean, you can totally tell they are so messed up on drugs.
Yeah.
And then here, what do you know? The two things sometimes tie to one another. We have a drug problem. We have a child abuse problem, too. And sometimes the drug problem contributes to the abuse problem.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
You talk about this happens
but
every day.
We don't
day.
Have a
I'm
drug
sure
problem.
That happens
I had somebody
every day.
They tell me there's no drug problem.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Sorry. I hate to be mean, but if you think there's no drug problem in this country and you think there's no drug problem in North Central Kansas, you live under a rock. You do not want to know the truth is what it is.
Yeah.
Don't have the audacity to say that. You want to say, I don't think it's that big a problem? Okay, fine. I'll listen to that. When you tell me there is no problem, give me the facts to back up that ludicrous statement.
Yeah. I'll bet there's plenty of, like, when you're
it's
talking
It's not just
about...
this area. It's across the country.
Yeah.
And it's hitting rural areas, the city. I mean, drugs are out there, man.
Yeah. I would think that, well, you know, drugs or alcohol are contributing to a lot of the abuse
sure.
ones and neglect, too. I mean, how many kids are taken out of the homes because of child neglect, you know? And that could go hand in hand with the Tyreek Hill. It could
Absolutely.
Be abuse and neglect from mom and Tyreek Hill.
It might not be as bad as we think,
yeah.
and they're just precaution taking them out of the home.
Yeah,
happens
and I would bet drugs and alcohol have to do with at least half of that.
Probably.
Of the neglect, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the abuse could be some other things, different, whatever. But so I would say those two things are playing a big factor in a lot of kids that are in the foster system.
And so, anyway, when it's a celebrity, an entertainer, or a politician, we focus on that person. And sometimes we want to throw them behind bars without letting the justice system run its due course. Or we want to just believe he couldn't do that because I need him for my football team. And so it ties back to, and how did we get started on this conversation? Ties back to Hunter Risen.
Yeah.
Okay? It was a domestic assault charge, right?
Yes.
Towards a woman, which I'm guessing a girlfriend, but don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We don't know the whole story. But then some people immediately make judgments. Well, Risen, what a thug. I've already seen it on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Risen's a thug.
Right after that.
His dad was a
punk.
His dad was a punk. He's gone. We don't want part of the program. What if you find out he did nothing wrong, for the most part? That is a Carlton Bragg situation. You've run his reputation through the ringer, and it was the woman that was at fault. We are so guilty in this country of just flat out saying you're guilty without a chance to prove your innocence. And it's supposed to be the other way. You're innocent till proven guilty. So for you K-State fans out there that want to, and listen, by the way, I'm not going to just pick on K-State fans. We know Kansas did the same thing with Carlton Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And trust me, this happens at every school. K-State's not an exception. We know that there are K-State fans and KU fans, Nebraska fans, Oklahoma fans, wherever, that are quick to throw a kid under the bus. Oh, man. And you know why? Sometimes it's because you really want him to play so bad. You think he's going to be an important player. And now you're scorned, even though you never met the kid. You felt scorned and betrayed because you're a K-State booster or a K-State alum or a K-State supporter. And this guy isn't going to play because, oh, what a moron. How can you be that dumb and do something like that? First of all, we don't know if he did.
Yeah.
So be quiet with all your comments, because if you were accused of something you didn't do, would you like to be treated this way? Oh, wait a minute. Snap. Slow down. Rewind the tape. That sounds like the golden rule, doesn't it? What's the golden rule, Dusty?
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Huh. Or, as I say for people that can't understand that, put yourself in other people's shoes. So when you immediately say, oh, this kid got involved and got in trouble and gets in fights all the time at school, he's a horrible kid. Maybe you want to look at his background. He went to 6 different foster homes, was abused as a child or molested or something horrible like that, or had to fight against a whole bunch of people in the foster care family where the foster care mom and dad or the real mom and dad weren't involved, and he had to fight just to survive against bullies and this and that, and that's just his impulse. Gets in trouble, you defend yourself. But nobody wants to take the time to learn about the kid. Nope, don't want to learn about the kid. Throw him in the slammer. You know, this whole thing with Pretty Prairie, have you ever heard this story?
Yeah.
The Pretty Prairie vandalism in the school? $75,000?
Yeah, in the band room, yeah.
Yeah, the kids that did it were 11, 8, and 10 years of age. And it happened, they said, what, between 1 and 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay, so you should see the comments that people have made about that. Oh, my Lord. I mean, I know it's a whole bunch of vandalism. I know it's a whole bunch of damage. I get that. But some people act like somebody was killed in this thing.
Yeah.
Nobody died. All that stuff can be replaced. I'm not condoning vandalism, not at all. Not condoning what an 8 and a 10 and 11-year-old did. And the first question I would have is, where were the parents or guardians of an 8 and a 10 and 11-year-old? How do they not know where those kids are between 1 and 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
It's a fair question.
Oh, yeah.
But under law, these kids cannot be charged because they're too young.
Yeah.
11, 10, and 8. You should see the comments that people make on this story, who, of course, never probably don't even know where Pretty Prairie High School is.
Yeah, exactly.
Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Don't know their mascot. Don't know anything about what their classification, their enrollment, where in the what portion of the state it is. But, boy, they're experts when it comes to their opinion. When it comes to, and you should see the comments. I don't care if the kid's 8, 10, or 11. Throw him behind bars. Yeah, that's going to solve a lot. That's what we need. 8 and 10 and 11-year-old kids, throw them behind bars and throw away the key and just give up on them now. Have you lost your mind, society? Okay? There will be repercussions for these kids. What the repercussions are, I don't know. And you can certainly ask a bigger question. Where the hell were the guardians and the parents?
Yeah.
From 1 to 3, how do you not know where an 8, 10, and 11-year-old are? I don't know if they're all part of the same family, different kids from different families. I don't know all that. But for people to sit here and say, throw the parents in jail automatically. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a parent of three boys. One's 12, one's 9, one's 5. I don't know where they are every single second of the day, 24-7. I don't. I'll let my kids play outside. I might run inside to grab something, right?
Yeah.
I think my kid's on the swing set. He's running the garage to play with something. Does that make me a bad parent?
No.
I'm at a playground, and they're playing with a whole bunch of kids. There's one set of playground equipment. There's another set of playground equipment. I turn my head for 5 seconds. I turn around. Oh, crap. Where's my kid? Oh, there he is. He's over on the merry-go-round. Does that make me a horrible person, a horrible parent? I would hope not, because it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Now, an 8, 10, 11-year-old from 1 to 3 in the morning, you would hope you would know, but I will say this. I will say this. Kids are crafty. I have a 12-year-old. I'm guessing he's smart enough to know how to open the window and escape. And from 1 to 3 in the morning, you know what I'm doing?
You're sleeping like
I'm
a normal
sleeping.
Person.
I'm not looking over my kids like a hawk and staying up 24-7. So when people say immediately, where the heck were the parents and how did they not know about these kids? First of all, don't know the home situation. Don't know if it's one parent of these kids or single parents. Maybe they're at home alone. Because mom's got to work the overnight shift just to put a roof over their house. We don't know any of that. But we immediately do what? We throw the parents under the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have been good parents just like me and my wife. I think we're good parents. I don't know. God will decide if we are. All right? We sleep at night. Some of us are deeper sleepers than others. My wife snores. I snore. Sometimes I hear things in the middle of the night. Sometimes I don't. Depends how tired I am. Listen, I don't have locks on every single window. I mean, I just tell everybody, does anybody have locks on every single window so you can't let your kid out anywhere? But listen, back in the day, I couldn't do it because I was upstairs. I would fall out if I did it. But I know of many friends of mine. You know what they did at the age of 13, as early as 13? You think they can't do it 11, 10, or 8, or if they're all together, 11-year-old could lead the 10 and 8-year-old out of the house? You don't think they know how to open a window? Pull up a screen? Or even kick out a screen and then leave. And if you're on the other side of the house as a parent and you're sleeping from 1 to 3 in the morning, you are a heavy sleeper, you're not going to know that.
Yeah.
You're not going to know that. Now, if you're near, your bedroom's near the other kids, not on the other side of the house, maybe you'll hear something and you'll say, oh, my God, my kid, you know, jumped out the window and he's gone. But we're so quick to just immediately just, that's it. These people are criminals. The parents maybe did nothing wrong. It's just that the kid is a misfit.
Yeah.
Or he has problems himself. And he led an 8 and 10-year-old. Or maybe the 10-year-old was a leader. Maybe the 8-year-old was a leader. I don't know. But the point of the story is we immediately want to throw everybody under the bus. We immediately just say, oh, I don't care if he's 11. I don't care if the kid's 10 or 8. They vandalized and did all this stuff. Throw them behind bars and throw away the key. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Splendid. Well, let's get the parents and throw them in jail. Splendid. Now you take three kids and put them in foster care just like that. Good job.
Yeah.
And now we go back to the problem we started
with.
That's
not
the answer,
foster care, obviously.
And I'm not saying all. Listen, I want to make this very clear. It's the system that I'm talking about. It's not that there are great foster care parents out there, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I should do better about this. There are some great foster parents out there that will do anything for these children and take on as many kids as they can, and God bless them. And there is part of the problem in the system. We have a shortage of that. We have a shortage of foster care parents, and people are willing to take in other kids. It can disrupt your family. Can you imagine if you already have kids and then you bring in foster care kids? If you have a combination family.
Yeah.
Now, in some cases, parents are foster care parents because they couldn't have children of their own. And so they help with that. And then eventually they might adopt. So I want to make this very clear. I don't think that everybody out there is bad people. What I'm saying is the system, trust me, I know this from close experience, the system we have in the state is messed up. it, when you have kids lying in the offices of Topeka, and one kid gets raped while they're at an office and they're not in any foster care, don't you think there's a problem?
There's some sort of problem.
Our state is trying to address it. The governor and our legislators are trying to address it. But once again, we immediately just think, well, I read this story, and that 8, 10, and 11-year-old, oh, they're horrible people, horrible kids. Their life is over. Throw them behind bars. Or, well, I can't throw the kids behind bars. Well, you know what I'll do? Just throw the parents behind bars. Those parents got to pay. They need to write a check right now for $75,000. Okay? Do you know anything about their background? These people commenting on social media. You know nothing.
No.
They might live off of food stamps. They can't afford a high security system to protect their house and their kids from jumping out the window, okay? We don't know any of that. But we just immediately are the experts. Immediately. I read a story, and now I'm an expert. Throw the parents in jail. Throw Tyreek Hill in jail. Or the opposite. Well, I'm sure a broken arm will heal. Let him play for the Chiefs because I want the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. We just need to stop at some point and say, whoa. Let me put myself in those people's shoes, and maybe instead of going with the tunnel vision and the mind, maybe broaden my horizons, allow my brain to think, and go, well, why would an 8, 10, and 11-year-old leave their house or wherever they're living and do something like that? Do we ever stop to think that? Why would somebody do that?
Nobody does.
No. It's just, well, they're just crappy kids.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill's a crappy parent. We don't know that. We don't. He hasn't been arrested. He hasn't been charged with anything.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay, I mean, did he break the kid's arm because he was disciplining him? Or was he playing and swinging around by the arms? I've done this with my little kids, swinging them around, and the kid's arm broke, and he was playing with them. Once again, we don't know.
Yeah.
But we all think we know, don't
Here's
we?
Like, you know, you could come up with all kinds of hypotheticals on a deal like that.
Absolutely.
Here's a hypothetical. If mom's not fit to raise that kid, what if mom was beating him?
Yes.
Tyreek pulls him away and breaks his arm when he's pulling him away from mom.
And she already did the damage.
Something like that happens. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on or what happened until everything plays out legally. There's probably not video of this, so
like
I don't think anybody's going to be recording what happened with a 3-year-old kid inside the home. You know, there's nobody out there that's, you know, that interested in it unless, you know, one of the other kids has a phone or something that's doing it. So, you know, you can't. There's so many things on everything you covered there that I could talk about. But you know, the thing with the Pretty Prairie kids is peer pressure is still a real thing, too.
Sure.
You know, I had my best friend when I was growing up. His brothers were always in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get in trouble because he was with his brothers. He was a good kid,
right.
My buddy. And we were best friends all the way through from about fourth grade all the way through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's in the Navy and going to retire military and be, you know, an upstanding citizen in this country, did everything the right way. Mm-hmm. But when he was around his brothers, he wanted to be like his older brothers, sure. Okay? So that peer pressure came in to where he'd go where they went and get in trouble. Well, mm-hmm. That's not who he was, but that's who he was with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you got to consider on things like that with kids, too, that nobody cares about. You know, what if this 8-year-old was just trying to be cool like his 11-year-old buddy or brother or whoever it was?
Mm-hmm.
You know, brother's telling him, you got to do this with me. And, I mean, people, if you've grown up with...
We've all dealt with
older brothers. Yeah. I did a lot of things probably that I wouldn't normally do that my brother Brad told me to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't, that's not who I am, but
right.
I got to look cool in front of my brother or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, it's a real thing. It's not, you're not making this stuff up.
We automatically, it's just amazing the things that you see that people, that I just, it sours me on our society. That's what's unfortunate. And I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, because there are great things out there.
Yeah.
That's what it ties back to. We try to do, and I'm telling you, our own area is guilty of this. Like, we have good news of the day. and giving Grace Flooring Decor and Beloit sponsors it. And so there are spells where we get lots of good news of the day that are submitted on our Facebook page. And then we'll go weeks without any single thing. But if I made it, okay, share your bad news of the day, you don't think there'll be a lot more responses?
Yeah.
I guarantee it would be. But then I hear people, why are we always focus on the bad news? Because you want it. You want it. Society wants it and craves it. It's as simple as that. I saw somebody post the other day about the Pretty Prairie situation. Well, obviously, the 11-year-old was the ringleader. What?
How do you know that?
How do you know that? Were you there? I mean, just the asinine comments from people. It's just ridiculous. I mean, listen, a 10-year-old can be the leader of the posse, all right? The 8-year-old could be... He could be the smallest kid and be the leader of the posse. He could be the biggest kid and intimidate the older kids, even though he's 8 because he's bigger.
Yeah.
Who knows? We don't even know how big they are, what their personalities are. We have no idea. Maybe they just thought it was fun. They aren't even thinking about all the damage. They're just like, this will be fun. We'll do this. We'll do that. They saw it on a movie. Saw it on a show. Saw it on a video game. Yeah, that's it. Now we take away all the video games. Because who knows? Let's just jump to conclusions. And that's what we do. It goes back to Hunter Risen, goes back to Carlton Bragg, goes back to Tyreek Hill, goes back to anybody we think we know, but we don't know. And you and I don't know Tyreek Hill. You and I don't know Hunter Risen. You and I don't know Carlton Bragg. And for us or anybody else to say, well, Carlton Bragg's a horrible, horrible person, should be kicked off the basketball team, when we don't let it play out, now we're going to look pretty stupid when we don't let it play out and find out, oh, Carlton Bragg was completely innocent. I mean, it's kind of like the Tiger Woods situation in a weird way. Oh, he's done. He's a former golfer. He's done. His health's done. Here's a thought. Why don't we just go ahead and let him play out his career, and then we'll find out if he was done? Because guess what? You're all wrong. Same thing here. You want to vilify Tyreek Hill. You want to vilify Hunter Risen. You want to vilify Carlton Bragg based on a police report that says that, hey, you know, this happened, but there's still investigation going on. We got to decide. He said, she said. Who's telling the truth? We have any witnesses, and let the justice system play out. And instead, we already want to convict people. Or we want to prove them innocent because that helps my football team or my basketball team or whatever. We got a big performance coming up at a high school football game. That's a big game. Let's go ahead and let that kid be eligible because we know the facts. You know this happens. Coaches know the facts sometimes of a situation, but they wait till it gets out there because their kid can play as long as they can to help the football team or basketball team or wrestling program, whatever the case may be. But we need to let the stuff play out as much as we can. And it's just interesting when we don't stop for a moment and say, what if that were my kid? Or do they have a good family life? What drove the 8, 10, and 11-year-old to vandalize and do all the damage at Pretty Prairie High School? What caused that? What helped attribute? Do you think kids are just born automatically to be vandals? Because I'm guessing not.
No.
Guessing not. I was 8, 10, 11. I didn't vandalize stuff. Now, I was lucky. I had good parents. I was raised on the farm, got a good work ethic.
Yeah.
I also wasn't around some of that peer pressure in the town. There was pros and cons of living in town.
Exactly.
So, you know, I wasn't egging places on Halloween like most people were because I was out on the farm. But we all go through some of these things. We're all young at once. We all make mistakes. Maybe the 8 and 10, 11-year-old already know what they did was horribly wrong and they're completely remorseful, but the people that's comment about all that on these stories don't care, don't want to hear it because they've already made their judgment. They're the God and they're the jury, and those kids need to go to jail. And if not, by golly, we got to hang someone, so let's hang the parents when we know nothing about the parents or if they even have parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, moving on. Sylvia DeSosa... The Jayhawks filed a formal appeal. Here's how DeSosa is going to do this. If you don't know, DeSosa has been suspended, of course, was this year and the next year by the NCAA, which is unprecedented, suspending a player for 2 years for his guardian taking payments. And DeSosa is declared for the draft, and a lot of people don't understand the new rules. I've been hearing this a lot lately and reading it, and it's like, man, education is important. If you don't think school and education is important... I mean, there's a lot of people who need to go back to school that aren't in school anymore and need to pay attention in class. Listen, it's okay to not know the rules, but then to go about saying it as if you know the rules, but then you give out misinformation, that's just irresponsible in anything in life for that matter. So here's the deal. You can now, the rules have changed in college basketball. You are allowed to hire an agent now. okay? You can hire an agent. I saw all these people go, oh, Devon Dotson, he's leaving. He's hired an agent. No, he can come back. You now can hire an agent. The rules are different than they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. And then they can still come back to school. This is a great opportunity for Xavier Sneed, Devon Dotson, others to test the NBA waters, and they can come back to school even if they've hired an agent, which I think is a good thing, that rule that they put in place. Now, DeSosa, he doesn't have. There's not a lot of tape on DeSosa as to whether he can be a pro player. He played, what, 13 games when KU made it to the Final Four a couple years ago, and he was an important part of them winning against Duke in the Elite Eight up in Omaha. DeSosa didn't play at all this year. And he's made it very clear, and if I'm DeSosa, I would have done the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm keeping my options open. So here's the deal. I'm declaring for the draft, and DeSosa's made it very clear. Crystal clear. This is not hard to comprehend and understand. Very clear. He says, listen, if KU just formally appealed the NCAA to reinstate Sylvia DeSosa, either he gets suspension redacted, reduced, or eliminated entirely, he's already served his time. The best case scenario is that DeSosa, the appeal will be accepted. They'll overturn the ruling by the NCAA, and DeSosa will be ready to play game one next year. That's the best case scenario for DeSosa, honestly, and it's the best case scenario for KU basketball. Could be a situation where they say, listen, you're suspended for 10 games instead of all of next year. Now DeSosa's got to decide. Do I sit out 10 games? Whatever it is, suspension-wise, but if it's reduced, do I miss half the season? Do I still come back to KU? I've already missed a year. Or they'll uphold the decision. And DeSosa's made it clear. If the decision is not overturned, he's going pro. Why wouldn't he?
There's no
point. Can't play next year anyway in college. If the decision is overturned and the appeal is granted, then DeSosa is going to come back to KU. It's as simple as that. It's black and white here. Decision overturned, coming to Kansas. Decision upheld, going pro. Makes total sense.
That's what you have to do.
I think so.
The process isn't finished right now.
Yeah.
And
there are some people who are saying, why did DeSosa, why didn't he just leave as soon as he found out he was suspended for the rest of this year and then all of next year? When KU people talked to him, and trust me, Bill Self did, and said, listen, you go pro right now. If you just cut out now, you've eliminated one of your options. It's pro or bust, whereas he at least has a couple options, possibly, depending on this appeal.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. I mean, now, there's no saying that Silvio DeSosa might work out for some teams, and somebody might like him to pick him a little higher than what they maybe would have, because, I mean, he's got some size, he's got athleticism, and he could work out for some teams. Somebody might pick him mid-second round by the end of it all. So then that's an option, too. Maybe I got picked here, I'm just going to go. But, you know, you don't ever know any of that. But
how crazy would it be if KU does all this work, and they appeal, they overturn it, and DeSosa gets one team saying, we love you, and he goes, okay, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
What a waste of time and resources, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's been agreed upon that, hey, listen, if it's overturned, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. If one team would go gaga for Coco Post over him,
I mean,
why wouldn't he just stay in the draft?
Yeah. Because you don't know until he starts working out. Because like you said, there's no real film on the guy.
No, there isn't.
And if he's been working with the team, he's still in shape and ready to go from that aspect.
Yeah.
So who's to say that couldn't happen?
I agree.
And then you're like, I told you guys I was coming back, but maybe not.
The Nuggets really like me. I'm going to be a second-round pick. I mean, it only takes one team to really love you.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. All right, the NBA playoffs. My Thunder not looking too good. Blazers win game four last night.
The Blazers pull away in the second half, lead by as many as 19, and they take out the Thunder by 13. Final score, Portland 111, Oklahoma City 98.
So the Blazers now up 3-1. Russell Westbrook had a really good game 3. The Thunder won. Last night, not so good. 5 of 21 from the floor. 14 points. He's been outplayed 3 of the 4 games with Damian Lillard, who's an outstanding player for Portland. But since he's in the Pacific Northwest, there are still people that don't know how good he is. Westbrook talks about his bad night.
I mean, sometimes you have nights like that. And that happens sometimes. But just wasn't good enough for us to get the win, so...
If Westbrook or George have a really bad night, they can have an off night somewhat, but if they have a really bad night, the Thunder have no chance of winning.
No.
That's it.
Not at all.
They have no chance. So the NBA playoffs continuing. The games yesterday, the Celtics swept the Pacers four games to none. Golden State's up 113 to 105. Kevin Durant, 33. Klay Thompson, 32. The Raptors have won three in a row over the Magic after losing game one. They're up 3-1. And we mentioned Portland with the 111-98 win. They are up 3-1 on the Thunder. Thunder have lost, what, 11 straight road games in the playoffs, so it doesn't look good because they got to win two road games now in order to win that series. The Bucks chance to close out the Pistons tonight in game four, and the Rockets have a chance to close out the Jazz for a sweep tonight as well. And the Nuggets and the Spurs, their series is tied at 2 apiece, and the Sixers up 3-1 on the Nets. Nuggets and Spurs will play coming up tomorrow night in the Thunder Blazers game five in Portland tomorrow night as well. Stanley Cup playoffs, well, I'm telling you, there's nothing as good as game seven in sports. I don't care what the sport is. Game seven was forced last night thanks to the Sharks and this winning goal.
Alex Tuck receives the drop pass. Stastny tried the give and go with Tuck. Didn't work. Theodore holds the zone. Feeds that off the skate of Stastny. And the Sharks clear it ahead. It's Hurdle shorthand and a shot. He scores! Tomas Hurdle in double overtime sends this series to game seven.
That was a shorthanded goal on top of it all. They were short because of a penalty. They were short a guy. Sharks win overnight. Series tied 3-3 in double overtime. And the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs 4-2. That series going to a game seven. The Blues knocked off the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday 3-2 to win that series in six. And the Capitals shut out the Hurricanes. They lead 3-2. Capitals defending champion. Games tonight, Capitals-Hurricanes game six. Capitals chance to close it out. Predators, Nashville at the Dallas Stars. Dallas leading 3-2 and at game six tonight at 7:30. And why are the playoffs fun no matter what the sport is? Even it used to be that you didn't see a lot of huge upsets in the first round of playoffs. The Avs knocked out the number one seed Calgary in five games. They were a wild card.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Columbus Blue Jackets swept Tampa Bay Lightning. We talked about that before. Tampa Bay had a record 62 wins in a regular season, and they were swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So the Blues, the Blue Jackets, the Islanders, and the Avalanche have all advanced to the second round of the NHL playoffs. The NFL draft will begin on Thursday, run through Saturday. The Chiefs have the 29th overall pick in the first round. Talk more about the Chiefs draft, and we'll hear from Brett Veach coming up on Wednesday on the Sports Ticket, and then Thursday as well, as the draft is Thursday night with the first round. Anything else to add, Dusty?
I don't think so.
All right, we've solved life's problems in society now that we've chewed them out. I'm sure everybody will be on their best behavior from now on.